Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I want to thank you all for joining me here this evening. I do want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, just a couple of things to touch on here. Driver Banquet, that's coming up November 1st. That's gonna be, oh boy, I can't even remember what the place is called down there in Cameron. Stone. Oh, you're gonna have to give me a second to look that up. You know what? I am 30 seconds into this podcast and I am already struggling. So just bear with me here. But you can sign up on the Facebook page. I know it's at 2 o'clock. Oh, let's see here. Banquet information. All right. Riverstone Events, that's located at 3474 Saunders Road in Addison, New York. Tickets are $30. You can use the Venmo that's on the Facebook page. You can also get them at the door. It should be a great time. Hope to see everybody there. Food should be awesome. So doors are going to open for that at 2. Eating will start at 2:30. So make sure that you got them in your plans as well. Before we get underway here, I do want to remind everybody that the interviews are brought to you by D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they will come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7600 09 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. And once again, I get the privilege of doing these interviews here. And now that it's the off season, obviously not much racing to talk about. I'm going to try to get a few different kind of people in here between drivers and sponsors. And this week, I'm going to have Dan Beach, the race director at the Woodhull Raceway. I'm going to ask him all about how he's adjusting to that role, whether or not he had to grow thick skin, because I'm guessing he had to. So, well, without further ado, let's get him in here and get this thing underway. Hey, Dan, how we doing today?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Joe?
Good, good, good. We got a little bit of a hard out today, so this will be a little bit shorter than I guess usual, but that's all right. I wanted to get you on, Dan, to just kind of ask you how it is to be villain number one most nights.
Yeah. It's not bad, but it has its nights.
Are you getting thick skin?
Oh, I've always had thick skin, broad shoulders. That stuff don't bother me.
Yeah, I'm just stuck with the broad shoulders. So you don't worry too much when people are yelling at you? Because I'm sure you get
No.
yelled at quite a bit.
Yeah, I get yelled at. It's not a big deal. You just gotta take it day by day and not worry about the small things, because if you get bothered by it, then what's the sense of doing it, If you're gonna
Right.
get bothered by every little person complaining or getting mad about your call, then you might shy away from making calls, because you don't want to hear it, but that doesn't bother me at all.
Right. Have you ever made a call that you wish you didn't have to make, or you wish you didn't make afterwards, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're a human, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to make wrong calls, you're going to make calls people don't like. You got your buddy out there that you've known your whole life. You're afraid you make a call that they're going to be mad at you, and you can't worry about that stuff. You got to just put that behind you and separate a friendship from a job.
Yeah, I always thought it'd be fun to have anybody try your job at least once, just to see that it's harder to watch an entire racetrack than it is to watch the one car that you're rooting for.
Right. And I'm type person that I'm always constantly just, looking turn three and four, one and two. Every once in a while you see a battle, and no matter who it is, you always get caught up in it every once in a while, and you gotta, unfocus from it and get back to doing it. It happens.
I know that's where my job differs. I actually, when there's a big battle for the lead, I get to watch it the whole time. I don't have to take my eyes away from it.
You can sit there and talk about
Do you ever think about being an announcer?
Yeah, that'd probably not be a good idea.
Why is that? You think you'll swear too much?
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I've been
That
told by a lot of people they'd swear too much.
or I'd forget to turn it off.
Where you'd forget, yeah. Well, There's been a few times where I think people forget to hit the mute button. I don't think I have, but you know.
Yeah, most definitely would forget. No, without a doubt.
Right. So what made you get started? What, I guess, how did you get the job?
Well, I've known Terry and Nikki for a long time, back to when Steve Hartman Jr. used to race for them years and years ago. And when they bought the track, I always, had offered to Nikki, hey, you need somebody, you need help, I'm willing to help. And I don't know, last year she gave me a call and asked me if I wanted to give it a whirl. And I said, well, we'll try her. And here we are.
You ever wish you said no some weeks?
Sometimes there needs to be rain out.
I always said that rainouts can be a track's best friend, but it seems like this year we got them all at one time and then we didn't get any more. And I always
Right.
thought, you sprinkle in one rainout once those tensions start to get a little hot and everybody's starting to get worn down and that might go a long way.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt there.
Have you ever done anything at any other racetrack or just a Woodhull?
Nope, Woodhull's the first.
Do you go to other tracks?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been to Lernerville. I've been obviously to the tracks all around here, Penn Can, 5 Mile Point, Afton. Went to Port Royal when, where they were doing all the short track super series. You'd go down there and spend the whole weekend.
I'm kicking
I
around the
don't
idea of going to Afton this weekend.
Do a lot of traveling. I mean, it's just, but I've been to a lot of tracks around. Never been to Land of Legends though. I knew need to get up there sometime.
Really?
Yep, never been there.
You should go. It's a nice track. I will say that it gets a little tough working on Saturdays to make it out to Land of Legends, but
It does. Yep.
I
Kind of makes the job difficult.
Yeah. Well, especially for you, you work nights, right? So you really can't hit the Super Dirt Car Series stuff that's in the middle of the week either.
Well, it depends on when it falls. I work a 3-4 schedule. I work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and every other Wednesday. So I'm always off Thursday, Friday, Saturdays.
Oh, you know, I could you could have asked to do this interview tomorrow. We could have done it tomorrow.
Eh, no big deal. No big deal.
Yeah. So I want to touch on you. So you used to work for Isabel, well, with Isabel Barron, right? And Brett Barron and their whole crew.
Well, so, actually, so I'll just go through the history about it. I was a, coming to Woodhull when I was younger, I was a Lyle Sherwood fan. I'd always come for Lyle Sherwood, hang out with them. I knew their daughter. And then after he passed away, not gonna lie, I kind of quit coming to racing for about 2 years. It just, it's one of those things, I got out of it. I came back and started hanging out with Steve Hartman Sr. and them guys, and then he retired. So, but I work at I work at Viant obviously, and everybody's gonna be like, boy, you got to be a big Billy Van Pelt fan. Yeah, honestly, I Billy would be the first one to tell you I was not a Billy Van Pelt fan on the track. Was not. He good friends. I've worked with him for probably the last 18 years, but I just wasn't a Billy Van Pelt fan. So, but and then I worked with AJ Costley, and he was the main person I helped. And then what was it, 2023, he ended up total on his race car. So, I knew the Barons and I was friends with them, so I just kind of started hanging out with them. They're not gonna lie, they weren't my first choice, but I don't I have a good relationship with the Barons, but that doesn't affect me. I'm not gonna lie to you. I've yelled at her on the radio and, told her when she's done things wrong. So I just said, you have to separate that kind of stuff.
Right.
And they understand that.
Do you think that that helps you do your job too? The fact that you kind of know the cars a little bit better than most? Because I'll tell you, I don't know anything about the cars. You know way more than me. At least you've worked on them before.
Well, when it comes to if someone's has an issue on the track, I can be like, well, the rear end looks broke, or if it's just something stupid, everybody can tell a flat tire, but I mean, I don't really think that has an advantage or disadvantage of what I do on the track, obviously my first and foremost is safety. If you see something unsafe on the track, regardless, you got to stop the race. You can't let it keep going.
Right. Have you ever driven one before?
No. Never. Well, I've driven one, yes, but not on the racetrack.
Have you ever thought about it?
Obviously. Yep. I mean, I might go a little faster than someone else I know that did it just recently, but
Yeah, you say that, but I tell you think you're flying. I can't wait. I think you know what? If somebody hears this, they need to put Dan Beach in a sports car.
I don't know if 5 miles an hour is flying, but you were moving.
I said I felt like I was flying. And I know that it was going more than
I
five
got, I
because they
mean,
don't even
I know
go into
there's a
high
video
gear.
out there, but I got video of it too from the outside view.
Yeah, I haven't put that on anything. I got a video of it too. It's harder than it looks. I give these guys a lot of credit.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard quite a few people say that the difference between these and a regular stock car is you're sitting right over top of the rear end, so it's a totally different feel when you first get in one of these.
It's just weird. Honestly, I don't know how else to explain it. It just feels so unnatural because you go into the corner and it sets up perfectly like how you want it, but then you feel like you're, I don't know, you feel like you're going to tip over. At least I did.
And that's exactly what a lot of people say when they first get in one of these, is that's what it feels like.
Have you ever thought about driving a car?
But like I said, that's probably the same reason I wouldn't announce.
Wait, why is
I
that?
don't,
Because you
well,
swear?
no, I think my temper would probably get the worst of me.
Well, hey, I've seen some tempers get the worst of some drivers.
Well, if you're worried about it before you get in the car, imagine what happens when you put a helmet on.
Well, you know, there's a lot of them that nicest guys off the racetrack, but sometimes you get a helmet on them and they're not as nice, but.
Yeah, but that's just the mentality of a race car, that they're passionate about it.
Absolutely.
They're out there to win and they're out there to compete. And when something happens and you miss it, they want to tell you about it.
Right.
And
Yeah,
I understand that part of it. You get mad, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I miss stuff. I don't see everything. I'm human and I'm gonna make mistakes.
Right.
If you're just not gonna see everything. And if I'm not confident in the call, I'm not gonna make it, and that's what people don't understand is, if somebody If I'm not 100% certain somebody took somebody out, I'm not gonna just on a hunch say, well, they did it.
Yeah. And I'll say too that there are a lot of times where it's I think where you'll ask them and you or Terry, I'm not sure who asked, but somebody will ask and they say I think. And I'm like, well, I don't really know if thinking's enough to
Yeah, I think they took them out. And a lot of, and they may have, taken them out, but I don't like going off, I think, and I wouldn't want to do it on the other shoe on the other foot for the driver. Well, I think they took him out, so we're going to penalize him.
Right. Well,
And
and I.
I don't think that's the right call. And that's why, if I don't see it personally, the first thing I go to is my flaggers. And if they're not 100% certain, and I understand it. We have a lot of eyes out there. How do you miss calls? Well, you do. Like turn one flagger. He's not just watching one set of cars go through the corner. He's trying to scan through all of them. And a turn three flagger, sometimes his back gets turned. It just happens. Because, and I'm not opposed to, like if he doesn't turn around and watch turning three and four all the time, I'm not upset, because I don't want his back turned to traffic coming down the backstretch all the time too.
Right.
That's not safe either.
Yeah, that and sometimes it is tough to see from our angle too. Your angle is pretty much my angle, and I think there's a lot of times that fans in the stands think they see something. But then if you could see it from like the pit point of view, it's completely different than what you think you see.
It is. And every angle is different.
Yeah, I've learned that the hard way, 'cause I could have swore that somebody took somebody out. It looked clear as day. And then somebody stand, whether you make the call or not, somebody would be standing over the pits and they'll go, "He never even touched him." And I'm like, I don't know
No.
what race you're watching, but
Yeah, it's everybody, you know, I don't like to say this, but everybody becomes an official when they're watching a race. But the problem is, like you said, they're watching their driver, you know, and that's it. They're not watching everybody else. And that's where things get missed, because you can't sit there and pick one person to watch.
Right. Boy, it'd be easy though, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah.
I wonder why.
Have 24 race directors and everybody watch one car.
No, just officials. You might only need 12 because you might be able to, you know, if you kind of.
Them in pairs.
Yeah, right. So you take the top two, you know, just kind of keep going, you know, as they go along. Then you'd have everybody watching the lead, and then it wouldn't go very well.
And I bank heavily on, you know, the help. You know, Terry Pierce, obviously, he's a big help in the infield for me. And you know, I'll ask obviously the flaggers and the head flaggers, and you know, it's, you know, they're race fans too. They get caught up in a moment and they don't see everything either. You know, it happens. You know, we don't go to the racetracks because we hate racing. You know, we get caught up watching it once in a while. It happens.
Yeah, or the drivers, for whatever they think, we don't hate you guys.
Yeah, we don't. I don't hate any drivers. I'm a strong believer. I don't like the word hate. I don't like, you know, I don't have a hate word, hate bone in my body. I don't hate anybody. You know, that's just not the, I went, that's not the way I was raised. So
Yeah, a
I don't
little
go in there
known
with the
fact.
mentality. I don't go in there with the mentality of, you know, I hate this driver, so I'm just going to be a, you know, every call against them kind of person.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes I wish you could do that, but you know,
Yeah.
you wouldn't be a very successful
No.
racetrack if you did.
No. And no, and you wouldn't have, you know, you'd have more mad drivers than you get on a normal night.
Well, yeah, that's true too. And plus, if you don't. So what are your how do you handle like a penalty during the race? So say the second place car runs over the first place car. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking they're going to the rear.
Okay, what if there's no caution?
You
See
know,
what
that's tough.
happens.
That's a tough call right there, man. That's tough. You know, our first person everybody's going to say is, well, they shouldn't get the win. That's the
Yeah,
first thing. You
but
know,
we saw how that goes too. People didn't like
right.
that either.
Yeah. And, you know, the first place car is going to say he's got run over, and the second place car is going to say he checked up. That's like a go-to right there instantly. And, you know, if I've had this happen to where, you know, somebody got spun out and they kept going, and that's why I didn't penalize them, I'll be like, well, you know, you kept going. What do you want me to do? I mean, I could dock them a spot. I'm not there to, you know, nitpick and penalize every person that does one little thing wrong. You know, it's racing and you're gonna have contact. That's just the nature of the sport.
Especially at Woodhull.
Yes, especially very tight corners.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have a lot of people finishing the race if we docked spots and black flagged everybody that touched a race car.
Right. And that's true. And you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been to other tracks as a fan, just sitting in the stands, and you know, other tracks, some, you know, I've seen a lot worse at other tracks where some don't penalize anybody ever. You know, that somebody dumps somebody and they don't even penalize the person that dumped them. They just go on their merry way. You know, so it's not always, you know, the grass isn't always greener everywhere else. You know, if you go as a race fan and you sit there and watch the races, you know, you'll understand, well, you know,
I
it's not always cut and dry either. People think it's cut and dry, and it's not always cut and dry.
Well, it's always cut and dry when it's your driver.
Yeah, right. As clear
Yeah.
as that.
I've been a race fan all my life, and I could tell you that things were always a little bit different when it was the guy I liked. The guy I like could make a little contact, and that's just racing, but the minute you hit him, it's, you should be docked the spot or, So I get it. And I've been to other tracks, and I'm rooting for people that I like, and it gets the better of you sometimes. Now I got to keep it more professional, but back when I was a kid, I remember I used to boo Kenny Peoples every week. I don't know if he listens to that. I think he does, but he I don't know if he knows that or not, but back when I was a kid, I used to boo him every week.
The old man or the boy?
Not the boy. So, and now I talk to him every week. So, funny how things change.
Right?
But there is a lot of guys that I didn't like, but I also didn't know anybody, I just went to, usually you picked out a color you liked or a car you liked, and that was the way you went. I don't even remember who I was rooting for with the Sportsman. It's been so long that I can't even remember who I would have been rooting for at that point.
Yeah, so when the Sportsman's first come out, I do believe Kenny was still in a modified.
No, I know exactly
No,
because
he started off in a crate and then went to modified
yeah.
because I remember him and Bill Brewer tied for the championship one year.
So I used to sit down below the gins, and it was that year where him and Jake were going back and forth with the Sportsman for the championship. So that would be why.
Yeah, that's right, Jake. Yeah, most of them, a lot of them modified drivers now started in a Sportsman.
Yeah, I think almost all of them did, except for little Russell.
No, little Russell went right straight to a modified, and buddy, I tell you what, he does a hell of a job in that car.
I know, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I guess I think they all did, didn't they? I'm trying to think of a modified guy who didn't go Sportsman. Did Big Russell race Sportsman? You would know more than I would.
Yep. Big Russell started off in a Sportsman before he went modified.
Yeah, so they probably all did. Well, it's the standard step,
Well, back in the day, that was the cheap way to go if you wanted to get in a modified car. You buy a when S class first started, I think the Sportsman motors were like $3,500, $3,800. And they didn't
Mine.
have all these fan they didn't have all this fancy coilover stuff. You'd throw a set of bars in it and set the car up. Back when this first started, you didn't have Schrader valves in the shocks. It's just a regular standard pair of shocks,
Yeah.
so.
I think that's what hurts the car counts too. And I've been saying this for a while on here that it's just hard for your local guy to compete. There's guys that do it. But your regular guy with a day job, it's tough to compete with what, or it's tough to pay for what you need to be competitive.
Yeah, well, a lot of these drivers, they've done their homework. Like Kenny,
Yeah, that too.
he's done his homework. He's tough to beat.
Or how, just in the amount of times they've been there. So you look at Kenny and Tim Guild and I don't know who's been right. Donnie this, well,
Well,
Donnie the
them three
last
right
weekend.
there, Kenny, Tim, and Donnie, they all grew up at the racetrack. Their dads all raced.
Yeah.
So
Tim's dad would have been way before my time.
yeah,
Do you ever watch
he wasn't
Carl race?
he wasn't racing when I was there either.
Oh, okay.
But I was on it, Tim started off in a modified.
Really? No, I knew because somebody sent me a picture and he had a modified and I said, "Is that Tim in a modified?" They said, "Yeah, it might have been you actually or Kyle Leach, I can't remember." I get people sending me stuff all the time.
Yeah, so
Because I think it might have
just
been a Ryan Tracy picture.
Well, yeah, some people, it's just, to compete in a modified now, you got to spend some money.
Yeah,
You
well,
know,
to compete in
when I
anything.
first, it was 358s. Now, people are running 410s, 420 motors, and it's just gotten so big. And I think that's part of the reason why it's hard to have a good car count in the modifieds. You can't, per se, pull a car out of the weeds with a 358 on it and go compete. Just you don't have the motor.
Right. Do you so have you been seeing that a lot of places are thinking about going to 358?
No, I haven't really seen that.
No, because I've been told by a few people that they think it would might help the racetrack, and I don't really know. Just, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I guess if they just went 358, motor size, maybe. But when you get into saying, okay, we're gonna run dirt, then that gets expensive because then you
Right.
got to sanction dirt, and the Hoosier tires are way more expensive than an American racer tire.
Right. Do you think you'd get have you do you think you'd lose a lot of, I don't know how I want to say this, because I've always been told that Woodhull is not a horsepower track. So do you think you could you compete with a 358 now?
Well,
That's
I
like.
know that I'm pretty sure towards the end of the year there, Stacy was running a 358.
Yeah, well,
And then
I don't think
I
he'd
don't.
mind me saying this, but the way that he his season ended, maybe that proves all I need to know.
Right.
You know,
And
he's.
he I think he did say himself that it's just he didn't have the, it just wasn't enough to keep up. And our track is different than most tracks. You go to other tracks, halfway through the heats, you're getting to where you can't see race cars, and our track isn't like that. We have a lot of bite in our racetrack,
Yeah,
and
right.
it doesn't, slick over as fast most nights. A lot of nights you still got a lot of bite by the end of the night in the racetrack, and you still don't have dust, and that's where a motor would come into play a little bit. I mean, we're not a big horsepower racetrack, but it would help.
You still need it. Yeah, I guess I forgot that Stacy said that he was running the 358 at the end of the year, and he was he was kind of riding the struggle bus, so I don't know. I guess that
Yeah,
might prove what I
they
need to
didn't have
know.
very good they didn't have very very good luck with motors this year, which kind of sucks. Obviously you don't want to see anybody blow motors because that's expensive.
God, there was a lot of them this year. Harrington's Cartwright, Dayton Brewer, I think, blew one. Carter Crooker blew one.
Greg, his dad, he blew one too. I don't know if he blew it at Woodhull, but he had motor problems.
Yeah, it was a tough year for motors, which means hopefully next year will be better, right?
Right.
So
Right.
what do you do for work?
What do I work? I work at Viant. I work at a medical facility. We make injection molding plastic parts for medical supplies.
So what do you
I'm
work
a
on, supply line?
no, I'm a tech there.
So what's that entail? What's your day-to-day do?
Day to day is keep the machines running, swap out molds for different product we need to run. Processing them, it can be, even though it's, oh, you only work 4 days away, but I work 12-hour days, and it can be mentally draining some days.
Yeah. So you work 4 12s?
Yep. Well, I work 3 12s, 4 12s. I work
Okay.
36 hours 1 week and 48 the next.
Okay. You like that?
Yeah. Yep. I've been there since 2005.
Holy cow. Yeah, so you're almost what, 20 years? 25.
Well, I left for a year and moved out of the state, and I came back, and well, obviously I had to start over, but that was very early. So I've been back 16 years.
Where'd you move out of state to?
I moved up to New York State, girl.
Wait, whereabouts upstate?
not very far. It was just past between Elmira and Binghamton. So it
Okay.
wasn't like upstate, I guess. I guess it was more east than anything. So,
Did want to make that commute,
well, it wasn't a
huh?
no. But, it happens. Obviously, you see, I made my way back.
Well, it's always fun. I like living in. Do you live right? You live right in this area, right? Corning.
Yeah, I live in Pennsylvania.
You do?
Yeah.
I thought you lived in Corning. Right over the
No, I live.
border?
Yeah. Yep, just over the border.
Okay. Before or after Mansfield?
In Mansfield.
You live in Mansfield?
Yep.
Oh,
Well, not in town. I live on the outskirts of town, but
that's where I studied abroad.
Studied abroad, huh?
Yeah. Studied out of New York State, went to college in Mansfield. Yep.
Good old MU.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I don't know if it is now, but it was a dry campus when I was there, so
I didn't go to college. That'd be the my wife would be the one to ask. She got her master's from there.
From Mansfield. It's all different now. I drove through there not too long ago. It's all completely different than when I went there. So when I went there, they were just putting in the new dorms. We moved from the really old dorms to the newer ones, and boy, what a change.
Yeah, they haven't been there very long.
No. Well, 2013, so 12 years.
Well, that's still not terribly long.
No, probably not when you're considering what they're.
I was almost 30 in 2013, so they've been there less than I've, half my, they've been there a lot less than time than, yeah.
Then you've been around. Well, yeah,
Yeah.
you're old, so you know. There's gonna be a
Yeah,
lot of
well,
people that are mad at me for calling you old, so.
yeah. Nah, I'm not old yet, but I'm telling you, you start feeling it when you hit the age.
I don't know, man. There are some days where, well, usually after a demolition derby, I can't. My back's all seized up and my forearms
Yeah,
hurt.
speaking of
So,
Demolition Derby, I seen you were over our way with old Scooter.
yeah, Tioga
Yeah.
County. Yep.
How'd you fare out there?
I think I got seventh out of 20, 19, 20, somewhere in there.
Not
Seventh.
terrible.
Yeah, I always say to everybody, I'm more of a field filler, so. It's tough. You can't start up front, everybody's on the same playing field.
You're that guy that just shows up for the tow money.
Well, you always run. I think usually I've been getting I can usually get top 10, but I can never get in the money, which is usually the top three. So I
Oh.
think I've gotten a third. Well, I got a third when they only paid two, a couple of fourths, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth, And then, you got your ones that don't go very well. I've gotten last a couple of times, just mechanical failures. You ought to try it.
No.
Why not? You scared?
No. No, it's just meh. My neighbor, he does it.
Who's
He's
your
got like
neighbor?
Paul. He had the wild child car over there.
Okay. Orange?
Orange and yellow, and it said wild child on it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. I know what car you're talking about. I don't know who he is, but
Yeah, he does demo every year. He travels around and everything.
I kind of travel without knowing I'm planning on traveling. Working on Saturdays kind of makes it tough, so I kind of have to pick and choose wherever I can.
Well, like you said earlier in the year, if there's a demo derby close, you know we're not raining out.
Yeah, well, that's a good point too. I told Boy, what was that in June or July? Everybody was worried about the rain. Everybody said it was going to rain. It was going to rain. The weather said it was going to rain. I said, "Damn
Fourth
beach
of July
retains."
weekend, wasn't that the fireworks weekend?
Yeah, it might have been. And I told Dan. I said, "Listen here, Dan Beach. I've got a demolition derby that's 5 minutes away from my house. So I'm telling you right now that we will not rain out." And sure enough, it didn't rain. All I knew it. Just I know my luck. It's about how it is. So.
I don't know, Joe. Yeah, just demo derbies, they're okay. They're just not my thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're
Never lost. Never, not one of those things that I would be like, oh, let's go, you know.
that's how I
No.
feel about truck pulls. My girlfriend's family loves truck and tractor pulls, and I don't know. They're
Not
fine
your
for a
thing.
little while, but after spending 3 hours there, I've seen enough. I'll tell you one thing, Dan. I was looking through the pictures. We don't have one picture on Smug Mug of you. I'm gonna have a tough
That's
time putting a picture up for this one.
upsetting.
Well, Dan, we like I said earlier, we got the heart out, but I want to thank you for joining me here this evening. Thanks for making time, and I hope you have a good day at work.
Oh yeah, it'll be enjoyable. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Hey, you're welcome. You have a good night.
You too, bye.
So once again, I do want to thank you all for joining me here and listening. Good conversation with Dan Beach there. I want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And just one more reminder that the interviews are brought to you by DNL Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Truthburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up and they'll come and take it away. Give them a call today at 607-382-7609 to get started with DNL Disposal, the premier residential waste management company in the Woodhall area. And once again, I hope I see everybody at the banquet. It should be a good time. Until next week, you guys all have a great week, and I'll see y'all sometime in midweek.